We're going to take you to Ukraine now, where on the streets there's a call for regime change.
The head of the Department of Homeland Security, who is Mr. Zakarchenko, is to resign. And this is the key political demand of Ukraine opposition. The government is to be toppled, and this president is to be impeached.
Government toppled, president impeached. That's Arseniy Yatsenyuk, who's opposition party leader at a news conference in Kiev. Protesters are calling for the resignation of their president, Viktor Yanukovych, who many believe is too dependent on Russia and Vladimir Putin. The protesters believe their country would be far better off if it could get closer to Europe. Yanukovych has defended a refusal to sign accords with the European Union and is pushing forward with a new gas deal with Russia. More about the question of Europe versus Russia in Ukraine in a moment. But first, Andrew Kramer is in Kiev reporting for our partner, The New York Times. Andrew, what is the scene in Kiev as far as you can tell?
Well, the protest is certainly not going away. I'm standing on Khrushchev Street in Kiev looking at the Independence Square, and there's quite a few people out. The barricades, which went up a day or two ago, are now more solidly established. They're made of Christmas ornaments from a giant Christmas tree. There's also plywood and other debris and city buses and shipping containers sealing off the square. I was also today in the city hall of Kiev, and it's been occupied by the protesters and also barricaded. It's really been a day of entrenchment for the opposition here.
Are people outraged about their economic conditions, or is this a matter of principle over Europe versus Russia?
It seems to be more a matter of national identity than economics for most of the people I've spoken with on the street. They also claim that or believe that they would be better off economically with a free trade agreement with the European Union, but they're mostly upset with the idea of dependence on Russia and that their president would once again become something of a vassal for the rulers in Moscow.
Is Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, popular in Ukraine? Is he reviled?
Well, he would certainly be reviled among the protesters. There's a large part of Ukraine which is not representative here on the streets in the east of the country, Russian-speaking, dependent on Russia for business, and I'm sure he would have a better image in that part of Ukraine.
How does the energy picture figure into all of this? So Ukraine, of course, gas rich.
Well, Ukraine pays quite a bit for natural gas, certainly much more than your typical American would pay for heating fuel, for example, although this is a very poor country. And Russia sets these prices arbitrarily and is suggesting that if they were to slide with their trade union, their trade customs union, the energy prices would be lowered. So it's really a carrot that the Russians are offering Ukraine at this point, but an important one.
Andrew Kramer in Kiev, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Continuing our discussion about those protests in Kiev in Ukraine, one of the most powerful and perplexing dilemmas for the people of Eastern Europe has always been the choice of whether to think of themselves as closer to Russia in the east or Europe in the west. This choice is a life or death matter for the nation of Ukraine. As we've been hearing, these anti-government protests are the largest since Ukraine's Orange Revolution back in 2004, which also sought to boot Mr. Yanukovych, then prime minister, from office. Here to explain the protests in the context of Ukraine's history is Lee Feinstein, a former Obama and Clinton administration official who served as ambassador to Poland from 2009 to 2012. Ambassador, welcome.
Thanks. Happy to be with you.
How hard of a choice is this to face east or west for the people of Ukraine? How much of a question of identity really is that?
Well, it's changing. At the time of the Orange Revolution in 2004, as you pointed out earlier, there was emerging and building support for moving west. But the country, you know, the United States maybe has a north-south divide. Ukraine has a more profound and historical east-west divide. But what we're seeing with these new protests that began last Saturday is that growing numbers of Ukrainians, even those who were previously believed to be part of the faction that supported closer ties with Russia, are viewing themselves as European and wanting to be part of the West and Europe.
Has Yanukovych made an oligarch-like deal with Putin here? Is this something about his personality, a style of governance that has gotten him into trouble with the protesters?
Well, he has been trying to play both sides against the middle for some time, and with pretty limited success. This isn't the first time that he's had an opportunity to sign this deal. And I have to say, it's not surprising that he this time again suspended talks with the EU, despite the fact that the opportunity was there for the taking.
And Yanukovych is defending his attempt to negotiate a new energy deal with Russia. I misspoke earlier when I suggested that Ukraine was gas rich. In fact, Ukraine is sort of the breadbasket of that part of Europe, that part of the sort of old Russian Empire. The energy comes from the east. Does Ukraine, because of its agricultural wealth, have any leverage over Russia in this particular moment?
Well, look, the first point to energy that you make is right. Ukraine, like a lot of countries in Central and Eastern Europe, are very, very heavily dependent on Russian energy, and that definitely complicates the picture. Ukraine is potentially sitting on vast deposits of natural gas. It remains to be seen whether those can be brought to the surface in some kind of a meaningful and environmentally sensible way. But Ukraine is the second largest country by landmass in Europe. It's a country of 46 million people. It's a big country. It sits on a vast trove of natural resources. It's got highly educated people. It's an extremely important and strategic country in Europe, and the decisions it makes affect how Russia looks at its future.
Could Ukraine rival or match the success of Poland in merging with the EU? And I'm wondering if there are limits in the European Union now with all of its financial troubles of acquiring new members on any level.
Yeah, those are two good points. First of all, they're right on the border with one another. When I was there as ambassador, I traveled to Ukraine, and it's like going back in time. I mean, Ukraine is a beautiful country, and many of its cities escaped the devastation of the cities in Warsaw, and yet Poland is at least a generation ahead and is now the sixth largest EU economy. So all Ukrainians need to do is cross the border and see what the potential is for them in closer association with the West.
Can they reach it? What are the limitations?
Well, there's a lot to do, and this is the point. I mean, associating with the EU is clearly in Ukraine's interest, but Ukraine will need to do things like make changes to rule of law, improve its judicial system. Of course, it's got to stop selective prosecutions, including the release of Tymoshenko. So it's got a long way to go. What it has to its tremendous advantage are two things. First of all, that Ukrainians seem increasingly to have decided that this is the course they want. And secondly, they have a growing and educated middle class, which can help them make the changes they need to make.
Does Europe open its arms to a Ukraine in this moment? We talked about it a moment ago. I'm wondering if Ukraine would immediately take its place as one of the troubled nations of the EU, like Greece, not that full membership is necessarily on the cards for Ukraine.
Well, that's right. So full membership is not on offer right now. What's on offer is deeper integration. And, yeah, you're right that not everybody in the EU is wildly enthusiastic about bringing on board a new country, despite its tremendous economic potential, which will be expensive to integrate even in this kind of preliminary way. But still, the EU is united in wanting to do it. There are countries, if we can call them this, frontline countries like Poland, which are very eager and understand the strategic importance of doing this. But look, the EU leadership is committed to this. I think perhaps they were overly optimistic about the fact that Yanukovych would do the right thing, having rejected the chance before. And so now it's time for them to keep the door open to Europe and to support the Ukrainians who want to make this choice.
Just a few seconds. Will Yanukovych survive?
It's hard to say. He survived a no-confidence motion this morning, but there's a lot of activity on the streets.
Lee Feinstein, former Obama and Clinton administration official who served as ambassador to Poland from 2009 to 2012. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The Takeaway is supported by Lumosity.com, the brain training program designed by neuroscientists and used by 50 million people. Created to improve memory and attention. More at Lumosity.com.